With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Føler at det gått greit egentlig her oppkjøringen også, for hvis de kampene har fått mulighet til å komme inn og bidra med det jeg kan, og så, ja. Prøve å hjelpe dem med å få litt tak I ball og skape litt sjanser. Så det var greit I går.
Og så kommer vi til den store spørsmålet, for Kjetil sier jo nå at Per ingen 90-minutter spill lenger. Sier rett ut. Hva sier du, tenker du?
Nei, jeg må få spille litt 90 minutter først, så får vi se.
Ja, men han sier jo at det kommer ikke til å få gjort det.
Nei, ok, nei, men det får han stå for. Nei, jeg skal
bare... Han roser deg veldig for innoppe, ja, og at du spiller veldig bra, ja. Men han sier at kroppen til Per ingen 90-minutter spill lenger. Den tiden forbi, sier Rekan.
Ja, da vi uenige.
Er du ikke uenig? Ja. Hva får du mener at du det?
Nei, altså klart når jeg form og fit, så trener jo over 90 minutter hver dag, så det... Så jeg tror hvis jeg kan stå lenger I kampen, så klarer jeg 90 minutter til slutt.
Nå har vi altså en poll ute på Ivers-siden vår. Bikka 200 stemmer, akkurat lagt ut, og 92% mener at Per Siljan Skjelbred bør starte mot Molde.
Ja, men nå det 72 eller 73 av de stemmene fra meg, da.
Du sliter med, du har et habilitetsansvar her.
Nei, jeg har ikke, men jeg Per Siljan Skjelbred-fan på generelt grunnlag. Det ingen tvil om at jeg og tenker jo at jeg har veldig lyst at Per Siljan Skjelbred skal spille 90 minutter for Rosenborg. Men så kan det jo være at begge toene egentlig har rett på et vis. Altså, Rekdal sitt ønske jo å ha Per Siljan Skjelbred tilgjengelig.
Til hver kamp, ja.
Ja, og så kan jo hende at det rett og slett ikke mulig, da. Hvis Per skulle, altså... Nå har jo folket talt, Per Siljan Skjelbred skal jo starte mot Molde, ja. Det jo på en måte vedtatt, over and done with.
Men Rekdal har jo ikke sagt at han ikke skal starte, eller han har sagt at han ikke holder 90 minutter.
Ja, nei, jeg ønsker meg I hvert fall en Per Siljan Skjelbred som kan spille 90 minutter for Rosenborg, for når han har spilt for Rosenborg så langt I år, ja. Så har han vært dritbra, det var han sist da han kom inn, han var med å sikre at Rosenborg vant mot Viking.
Isak, Per Siljan Skjelbred, how good is he?
Oh, he's a top class player. You know, he's you know, has his career. Obviously, he's a really good player, and seeing him on the pitch is just unbelievable.
So he's still delivering the goods on in the training as well, day from day to day.
Oh yeah, of course. In training, you just see his quality. You see that why he's been in the Bundesliga. So yeah, he's top player.
So me and Isaac we're on the same team. We want him to play.
Yeah, now. Isak skal slippe å svare på det. Hørte du hvordan han stilte opp? Ja da. We don't get in this discussion, because I let him... Ja, men jeg kan jo fortsette med deg. For Rekdal roser jo Siljan, og sier at han god, og at han en som bidragsytter, og derfor han vil ha han tilgjengelig. Men I fjor spilte jo Per mer enn bare 60 minutter en gang.
Ja, men I fjor hadde han jo en trøblet sesong. Altså, det var det som var så fint med at Per fikk et år til, for da har han muligheten til å måtte, ha en slags Rosenborg-exit på en litt sånn Altså på en oppsving Altså ja. Det har vært kjedelig å gi seg etter en sesong som I fjor for Per Og nå har den sesongen her startet mye bedre enn den forrige I riktig nok bare en kamp
Skal vi I vinter da, ja.
Sånn at få det på, sier jeg bare
Og så jo spørsmålet da altså, det var jo
Jeg sa jo Før han kom, ja. Før han kom tilbake, så sa jeg jo at det en spiller som kan bidra til å fylle tribunalen på Lerkendal igjen, så det Per Siljan Skjølbre. Men ikke sånn som han var I fjor, Nei. Men sånn som han så langt har sett ut nå, ja.
Ja, og det var over, det var borte mot Molde at han spilte over 60 I fjor da, så vi får nå se. Så spørsmålet da, hvem skal I så fall ut?
Smart Mjølo.
Ja, hvorfor det?
Nei, det han har byttet med, da. I hvert fall, det har ikke, det lå ikke noe innebygd skjult agenda der, men det har jo vært det som har vært switchet.
Ja.
Så det virker noe nærliggende å tro at det skal være sånn, og så har du nå begynt å spekulere litt på laget?
Nei, jeg tenkte å ta det etter hvert, men Henriksen og Bjørke inn var vel det som jeg så for meg kanskje da, men, men vi kan jo ta det etter hvert for... No, Isak, you have analyzed the Viking match. You did it yesterday, so I had to wait even longer for you after the training yesterday because the training was postponed some an hour and a half. What kind of feedback have you got from the coaches after the Viking match?
Really just the basic things, you know, defensively, I think mostly, and also in the attacking half, I think we could have kept the ball better, but obviously the pitch was really... bouncy to it was hard to keep the ball but yeah there were a lot of areas that we could fix on but we won the game in the end that's the most important thing I think
Ja, for vi starter jo der da I nok en engelskspråklig podcast du hører jo allerede nå at det ikke 10 av 10 det ikke helt hjemmebane
og så men du har tenkt du... å smyge inn en lille norsk da hører jeg
Ja, og så, sier, så sier du at du flinkere enn meg, og så folket for å... Sist vi hadde engelsk var det Jaden Nelson vel, og Santri Vennen, det gikk noe som det gikk. Jeg burde fått inn attached scrotum, vet du hva det betyr?
Nei.
Jo.
Nei.
Du skjønner hva det
Nei.
Attached scrotum.
Nei, skjønner ikke.
Do you understand attached scrotum, Isak?
No.
men uansett, og der, vi tar to spørsmål på dine, for det handler litt om akkurat det vi snakket om, sant? Først fra Trym, how much Norwegian do you understand, Isak?
Really just the basics. Yeah, obviously I learned Danish in school in Iceland, but yeah, the basics I can understand, but I can't really speak it.
No, but you have Danish as a regular subject in Icelandic school still?
Yeah, for the last 3 years in as a young kid, we have to learn Danish.
But Isak has an excuse because he went to England so early,
ah.
so he didn't get all the Danish at school.
I missed out a little bit, yeah.
because remember, Mathias Willamson, he became Norwegian, so he because he lived there so long, and but Holmar as well, Eilson.
Ja, vi likte jo den, vi kunne snakke norsk til han, og så svarte han engelsk tilbake.
We could ask him Norwegian questions and got English in return, but we are not there yet.
No, not yet, hopefully in... Few months, yeah.
but you have a plan. You have plans to learn Norwegian.
Yeah, I'm learning. I'm using Duolingo every day, every evening. I'm go on that app and learn a little bit. Yeah.
Og så kommer jeg til poenget da, for mandag fikk altså Isak møte Lerkendal for aller første gang med folk, 15,000 på lektaren. Espen lurer på, what do you think of the atmosphere at Lerkendal Monday?
Oh, I loved it. I love this atmosphere. It helps the players a lot to have the fans behind you. And this is what you want to play for, the fans. And I loved it.
But how was the match from your point of view? Did you get a tough one? You got the yellow card. You afterwards you talked about you want to be aggressive, and the opponents tried to get into your head, but you had to stay positive.
Yeah, obviously, a lot of the time the opponents try to get in my head because I'm an aggressive player and they want me to get the yellow cards and get off. But
so they're telling you stuff during the match, or
sometimes yeah, they tell me, but mostly it's just physical, as you can see in the television that Brekalo was trying to hold my head down, and it's just like little things to annoy me a little bit.
But it seems quite easy to. to get you to get the yellow card. It's not the toughest job in the world.
my anger, I have to really keep it down. I can't get angry easily, but I've learned through the years to try to keep it down, yeah.
And now, as you have said it out loud, here, now all the central defenders in the Eliteserien know that, this is how we do it.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said it, but it's just part of it.
Yep.
Because we got a question right before we started here that The odds for Isak to get 2.5 red cards, more or less, during this season after the first game. Can you behave yourself? You cannot get a yellow card every game. Then you'll have to be suspended every fourth or fifth game.
I know that, obviously. But I'm an aggressive player sometimes. I just can't be really get angry at the... I try to talk to the referee just like a normal person. And I'm not trying to hurt anyone, you know. So it's just part of the game. Sometimes, like I played in England, it was really physical. And I didn't get as many yellow cards. So when I come here in Iceland... The referees don't allow it as much, so I just have to adjust to the game.
Okay, and Oddmund...
And then you had two games in Scotland as well.
Yeah.
There you could probably really go all in.
Yeah, real English and Scottish tackles there allowed, so yeah.
Get him!
we'll come back to the St. Mirriniers. Yeah, but Oddmund, if you take away the cards and everything and the temper and Brekalo, how do you feel that they played in the first appearance for Rosenborg at Lekendal?
I think I want to do better on the ball. I want to keep the ball better and create the opportunities better. But I think the whole team could have kept the ball better. And obviously when the whole team does keep the ball better, I play better. But I want to keep the ball more.
Yeah. And you told me in front of the game that you're still only at 90% physically.
Physically, obviously. Well, physically I'm 100%, but much fitness isn't as good as I want it to be. Obviously, I've been injured. I haven't, you know, being physically ready, and match fitness is not the same. So, I need to just play more games to get that fitness, obviously.
But did you get really sore and stiff after the game because you have played so little this winter?
A little bit, but just yesterday after the game, I was really stiff. But now today, it's all settled, and I'm just ready to train again, yeah.
But so we just have been through that as well. What did trouble you so much during the winter? Because you came here, you started training in January. You were on a camp with the Icelandic national team. You came back to Gran Canaria, the first training camp, two or three trainings, and then Isak was away for a long time. What was the problem?
When I went to Icelandic camp, I had some hip problems. I've had a lot of hip problems through the years. And most of the time it's in the winter. As I got on, went to Gran Canaria. It was okay, settled down, no problems. And then we came here and I had some problems with my hips. And then, boom, the muscle went. Yeah.
So maybe your hips doesn't like cold weather?
I don't know.
This is always happening in the winter time.
I'm from Iceland, so I should be used to it. But there's some problem. I had problems with my back and, playing on artificial grass and swapping between artificial and normal grass. It's not really good for my back and my hips.
But was there something about your toe as well?
No, I just got Eddie stepped on my toe, so...
So that was just
a small
thing.
Small problem.
Yeah, small
Eddie,
problem, yeah.
It's not very heavy.
Eddie on your toe shouldn't be any problem.
But just so we are there as well, Peri André asks, you answered it already, but are you 100% fit now, or where are you?
Yeah, I'm 100% fit, but obviously, as you play more games, you get like that match fitness. So hopefully it will get better as we get on.
And like I said, we are going to talk a lot about the future in Rosenborg as well after a little while, men vi starter med det første. For vi skal jo snakke mye med Isak, vi snakker om bilder på Instagram, tatoveringer, og kanskje litt de større spørsmålene også. Se litt mot Molde-matchen da, og innom cup-trekninga. Det ble jo trekt rett før vi, ikke trekning, et oppsett rett før vi gikk på, Petter.
Trygg grad det.
Ja, det blir bra.
Ja. Altså første runde I køppen stas, og vi jo ferdig med den rare køppen. Nå begynner på en måte køppen
ordentlig, ordentlig
og
køppen.
Ordentlig her. Ja. Og da blir det Trygg Lade. Siste var Trygg Lade, så var det Steffen Iversen som trent laget. Nå det Jon Olav Gjelde.
Ja. Fra Rosenborg til Rosenborg.
Fra Rosenborg til Rosenborg.
Og det ble ubehagelig for Rosenborg sist. Det var 2-1 til Trygg Ladet pause. Kåre jaget dommeren litt kjapt I gang andre gangen og var rastløs der. Og så var det vel 3-2 til Rosenborg til 90.
Og så fikk vi jo samtidig en reminder på turnoveren har vært på spillere på laget. Ja. For du skulle ha meg til å gjette elveren. Det var sjanseløs.
Ja. Det var det en spiller som igjen fra den elveren. Og det Erlend Reitan, og han var I Bodø/Glimt etterpå igjen. Mm. Så det ingen da som har vært der sammenhengende fra 2018. Andre Hansen satt på benken, that's it. Det var Jakob Rasmussen, husker du han?
Ja, ja.
Malte Amundsen, husker du han?
Ja, det så vidt.
Erlend, ja, Besim Sebesic var der, Janni Delanley var der, Jonathan Levi, Morten Konradsen, Lundemo, Rafik Seknini, han vel I Molde nå, og Botheim på topp, og cupkeeperen Ari Løsbø.
Ja.
Det var ikke så mange kjent folk der.
Nei, så tenker man jo, oi, det var ikke all verdens lag, men nå har de jo andre steder å gjøre det bra nå, ja, så det, spillerne var jo ok, men det var mye ukjent Rosenborg-materie egentlig, ja.
Men Rosenborg-Tryggladet, det blir bedre og morsomt, ja. Men den første, altså 23 år, kom til Rosenborg før denne sesongen, men der mange da blir værende på gutterommet til de gått I 20-årene, jeg var jo 1920 selv til flyttet, så tok Isak Thorvaldsson tidlig en avgjørelse som ble helt avgjørende da for han selv, og da går jeg på engelsk igjen, sant? Because when you were 14, Isak, you chose to move to from safe Iceland to Norwich in England. What happened? Why?
It was really just I was playing in Iceland at a tournament, and then
what kind of tournament was this?
It's called the Ray Cup. It's just a lot of Icelandic teams, and then few teams from abroad come and join, and Norwich was one of them, and they saw me play, and I went on trials, few trials over there, and in the end they signed me.
Yeah.
And but you were only 14 years old.
Yeah, only 14 years old. Yeah, I was really young. So, but I had my family with me, and I, yeah.
So they lived there with you in Norwich?
Yeah, they lived with me, my whole family, and then through the whole years, my sister went back to Iceland, but the rest of the family stayed.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about the days that your stay in Norwich. What would a normal day look like? Where did you live? How much did you train? How professional was it?
It was really professional. It was a lot of change from Iceland, obviously. In Iceland, it was school first in the morning, and then we go training. But a lot of time in England, it was sometimes we went to school in the morning, and then we went to training in the afternoon, and then back to school. So it was really long days. We might have woken up at 8, started 9, and then we finish around 6 or 7 in the evening, so it's really tough sometimes.
But you played for the under-18s and the under-21s, but you came as a 14-year-old, were you a super talent? How was that? Or did you play with the players who are the same age as you?
First, I started playing with my age, but at an early age, I started under-16s, I think, but... Obviously, I wasn't allowed to play the official games because I was still too young. And then as I got a little bit, I think it was after 1 year, I started training with under-18s. So they were a lot, 2 years older than me, I think. And then 1 year after that, I started training with under-18s and I was allowed to play the official games. So I started training with them and then I started training with the under-23s. Then they were... sometimes from same age to 3 years older. So most of the time I've always trained with older guys.
And you said you had your family with you. Was it your whole family or?
Yeah, my whole family came with me.
So what did they do when you, what did they do in Norwich?
My dad is a like flight engineer, so it's really easy for him to get a job. So Norwich helped him to get a job. And my mom, she was just stay at home. And my siblings went to school.
Was there any money in this? Did you get paid from Norwich?
Not in the, I think it was first year. I didn't get paid at all. But as when I officially signed, obviously I got paid really just minimum wages. Mm. Yeah.
And one of the most fun things we do is name dropping. So when you were in Iceland and Norwich came, were there any other clubs there? Did you have any other opportunities?
Yeah.
Was Juventus there or Milan? Or?
No, I went to a trial to Reading. And then after the day when I came back from the Reading trial, Southampton wanted me to come on trial. But I literally just 1 hour ago, I landed. from England in Iceland. So I didn't go on that. So yeah, those were the, like the only two teams, three teams at that time.
But is this normal for a 14-year-old kid, a talent from Iceland, to get the English club lining up wanting your services?
At that time, it wasn't like like a few players went on trial, but nothing came out of it. One of my best friends, he went young as well to Reading. So, but at that time, it wasn't that popular. Like more in Iceland now, a lot of players are going to Italy. So I think with time, it just changes between countries. Like at that time, England was really looking at Iceland. Now it's Italy, so it might be something different in a few years.
But it's quite interesting because a lot of your Icelandic players, they go abroad when they are really young and then they end up in Eliteserien.
Yeah.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I think just few players are going back to Iceland and then they go to the Scandinavian countries. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why it's like that. I think it's just similar to Iceland, so...
Yeah. But I think I'm curious about your, because when you were 14, you was it a difficult choice for you, or was it easy to just go abroad? Like I said, I lived at home until I was 19.
Yeah, for me it was easy. I always wanted to become a professional football player, and playing in England was my dream. So yeah, I didn't really think about it that much. I just went on it straight away.
And to my defense, if Norwich had called my father when I was 14, perhaps I'd left myself.
And we have been to Norwich because we went there to visit Alexander Tetti.
Yep.
And when you were in Norwich, he was a first team regular and one of the stars.
Yeah.
Can you remember him?
Yeah, of course I remember him.
From that time, I mean?
Yeah. When you're a younger player in the academy, you look up to the first team, and he was one of the players I looked really up to, because obviously I knew he was Norwegian, so I knew when I see like Scandinavian players, I really look up to them. Yeah, and I played that midfielder then. So,
but could you, as a 14-year-old kid, approach Tetti and say hello, how are you? Or was there like they were like on another planet?
No, it was really difficult to approach him.
I think Tetti said it's okay.
Yeah,
his personality.
Probably, yeah, like at that age, it was like the first team was separated from the younger players, so we only saw them few. Like not that much during the day, only a few times, and I think once I was in the gym I spoke to him a little bit. I was just starstruck there.
And Tetti was quite big in Norwich, you know, the mega store. We were there, Petter.
Jeg kan ta norsk, for da vi besøkte Tetti, så ønsket jo vi to å dra med han ned på supporterbutikken på stadion.
Fine bilder da, vet du.
Altså når vi kom dit, så var det liksom store posters av Tetti i vinduet.
Og Pukki, to stykk, det med Pukki og Tetti.
Men det var ikke sjans i havet å få Tetti inn på en butikken, for han syntes det var så fløtt.
Ja.
Så han ble stående utenfor og skrevet på autografer, mens du var inne og kjøpte
drakt
og en kopp og litt forskjellig.
Ja, for dem som var inne der og gikk ut, dem kjente igjen.
Ja, ingen tvil.
But were you a huge talent when you were a kid because of this Norwich thing?
I don't really know. I think I was good. I think I was really good. I might be a little bit known in Iceland about my like football when I was young. But yeah. I don't know. I really think about it.
But you played for international teams from under 16. Mm-hmm. So that's an answer perhaps on my question there.
Yeah, obviously when you're too good, you're a good player. You play for the national team and start the games with Norwich. Obviously I was doing well. So yeah, must have been good.
And how close were you, Trym is asking, the first team on Norwich? How close were you to get? Did you train with them?
No, I don't know. I think... maybe one training, I don't remember, but I don't think that I was that far off. Obviously, I trained, I was a captain for the under-23s, I don't think that I was that far off.
No, but I don't remember your age when you left to Fleetwood. How old were you then?
I think I was 18 or turning 18. Mm. No, turning 19 when I went to Fleetwood. It was just before COVID, I think it was in January.
Because, like you said, you were captaining for the under-23s, and still, when you're 18, 19, you choose to go to Fleetwood on a loan. Why is that?
I think it was the final day of the window, and I got Norris called me and said that Fleetwood were interested, and obviously I wanted to get that senior experience. And Norwich were in the Premier League then, so it was a little bit more difficult to go in the first team then. So when I heard the opportunity to play in League One, I just jumped at it straight away.
For at det nivå 3 I England, sant, Petter?
Men det voksenfotball, da.
Ja.
Og, vi har jo hørt, altså, Tagset spilte for Liverpool han også.
Ja.
Men det var jo akkurat, altså, det var jo 23 det også. Og det litt forskjell, da.
But how was the meeting with League One, the level 3 in England? You said that you are a quite physical player, but the yellow cards were... Most, they were more rare to get it in England than in Norway. How was it in League One?
Oh, it was really, really physical. It was not that much of football played. Like, the ball was mostly in the air the whole time. But
so that, you lost kind of 1 million brain cells.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of head injuries at that time. I think it was really good experience to go there. Obviously, I only played a few games because of COVID. And the season was cut short, but I think it was really, really good learning experience.
Yeah, and then you move on, play a couple of games for Fleetwood, and like you said, the season are became shorter because of COVID, and then you go to we had to Leo Gjelde. We are going to switch between Norwegian and English. But Leo Gjelde, he's playing for Royal Ram now. He's from Trondheim. We were having him as a guest in the podcast. Da spilte han for Ross Conti, Petter.
Ja.
Og da fortalte han om livet I skotsk Premier League.
Ja, det var veldig
tøft. Ja.
He told us about a quite tough experience in the Scottish League. How was your experience with Scotland and football?
Because you go to St. Mirren.
Yeah, I went to St. Mirren. It was obviously, the, I think Scottish football is the step up from English football. Regarding with physicality.
It's a step up.
Yeah, step up. It's more aggressive.
So League One was hard, but Scottish
yeah,
Premier League.
Scottish Premier League is a lot higher, but obviously there's still football played there. But some of the tackles there are just ridiculous.
But you got only two games there as well. Why is that?
I only played a few games. As I said, it didn't go. So I wanted to play more. So... I was just young and I think I was stupid. I was just like, I thought I was the best in the world when I went to, and I just wanted to play every game. So that was a failed loan for me. So that didn't work out. So I went to back to Iceland to get some playing time.
Okay, og vi kommer tilbake dit.
He thought he was the best in the world. The self-confidence
was okay. My ego was just too high.
But you were still a midfielder back then?
Yeah, I was a midfielder then, yeah.
Do you still think you're the best in the world?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Good. fordi vi skal ta Rosenborg-linken etter hvert, andre har tilbake til Island, men vi tar den andre først, for at vi må litt tilbake til Landura, litt tilbake til dagen I dag, og det jo deg, Petter, og du var jo... på jobb, den andre, det var jo godt på jobb på mandag mot Viking, jeg vet ikke, vi telte 2-3 sjanser begge veier kanskje, du snakket med en meget fornøyd Adrian Pereira med kyllingdansen og greier og greier, det var jo god stemning, selv om det var ganske sånn underholdningsfattig, så dro jo folk hjem med et smil om munnen, Petter.
Ja, jeg vet ikke om det var så underholdningsfattig egentlig, for det var spennende, og det var intenst, og det var bra med folk, kan igjen dele ut en rose til kjernen, som drar ordentlig I gang, ikke sant? Det utsolgt på Øvrøst, og som Isak sier, det var veldig god stemning, og det var det, og så har Kjetil Rekdal vært ærlig in front av denne serieåpningen, og sagt at det handler nå I starten, om å vinne fotballkampen, og nesten bare det. Det ikke så viktig hvordan det skjer, bare man gjør det, sant? For man må bygge stein for stein og spille på seg litt selvtillit her. Og da det dritvakkert, men 3 poeng like fullt nydelig.
Not very beautiful game, but the 3 points against Viking, the most important, of course.
Yeah, of course, we want to win the games. That's the main point in the end. We want to win the games. Obviously, we want to win the league, so in the end, but the football could have been better. But in the end, we win.
Og nå det sannsynlig, uansett, altså la oss si at man får stryk mot Molde, da. Det jo forferdelig å si det.
Kampen ikke spilt.
Nei, da, men altså, I utgangspunktet så tenker man jo at Molde har kommet et stykke lengre enn Rosenborg, da, for å si det sånn. Og så det Sandefjord hjemme etterpå der, og da kan man stå med 6 poeng etter de 3 første kampene, det innenfor.
Decent.
Så skal vi jo selvsagt hente poeng I Molde.
Ja, det for det jeg kommet til det nå, for den tredje jeg meg selv, og jeg gleder meg veldig til den her Ivers-sendingen vår på søndagen, første for året, ordentlig borte. Det var jo hjemmekampsending sist, med TV foran og TV bak, og så nå det ordentlig Ivers med TV underveis.
ja, TV foran og bak, ja.
Ja, 1970. Mikke Karlsen meldt, Steffen Iversen kommer, og vi kjører hardt da fra Molde år, så sagt. Hva kan vi forvente?
Jeg litt usikker på det, da. Ja. Det jo håp, egentlig, igjen, at det blir et litt målfattig oppgjør. Jo færre mål det blir, jo større sannsynlighet det for at det blir med poeng til Trondheim, tror jeg. Fordi Rosenborg har hele vinteren vært kjempesolid bakover, var det også mot Viking, og så har man jobbet litt med å score mål, ikke sant? Og så møter man jo et Moldelag som har fått bygge lenger enn det Kjetil Rekdal har gjort. De har mer penger, de har på papiret kanskje et knepp bedre spillere, histo her. Men det hjelper ikke, for at mot Molde, så da, da skal jeg blod på skjorta, for å si det sånn.
What have you heard about the Molde-Rosenborg games, Isak, so far?
No, they're really big. my neighbor in Iceland was he lived in Molde, and when he heard that I was signing for Rosenborg, he said these games are big. So,
okay, so you knew about them even before you signed there.
Yeah. I heard that these were big games, and obviously Molde is a big club as well. So yeah, I think it's really important game.
Det var en eller annen løk på Twitter nå som skrev at det her Molde Rosenborg greia bare var en illusion, at det bare ikke var noen ting. Det feil.
men quite bumpy Lerkendal. Øyen fikk jo drag, det var jo bane. Det var jo ok.
To be no grass, it was okay, but the Lerkendal pitch will be much better than it was the first game.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, there was a lot of snow on it only like a few weeks before, so they didn't get that time to get it ready for the first game, but I think it will be much better the second game.
Yeah, now you're leaving for Molde.
Artificial?
And they have plastic.
That's artificial? Yes. Plastic. Yeah. It's obviously, then we can, it's not as bouncy, I think. It'll be easier to keep the ball on the ground than if you need to go long. It's, sometimes it's easier, but I think it's more fun to play on the grass.
But where do you stand on that? Because I think in Iceland you kind of grew up on artificial grass, or are there a lot of normal grass there?
In Iceland, in the summer we play on grass as a young kid, but artificial grass is similar to here. You know, obviously we need to play a lot of the games on artificial grass. But I prefer the grass. Obviously, it's just, I think it's more fun.
Yeah.
But what can we expect from the Molde game? What can we get back to Trondheim? One point, is that a good result? Or?
I want the 3 points. You never go into a game to want to draw or something. So obviously, I want to win. We want to win the game.
And you heard and you saw that Molde lost their opener?
No, I didn't see it, but obviously if they lost, they want to go into this game to win, they want to go all in, I think, so obviously we need to be ready for that.
Det var jo Molde som på en måte var taperen i var showet som har rullet inn, det var i Norge den første serien her, for det var jo...
Var den inne?
Etter forskene, men... nei. Men jeg kan bare strø inn et litt sånn var-apropos her nå, for jeg mener at jeg har fått øynene opp for en liten urettferdighet, for at... Var er ikke var i Norge. Det ulikt antall varekamera på de ulike arenaene.
Ja, var noe som ikke funket, var det ikke da? Motorer som ikke funket.
På Lerkendal er det flere varekamera enn det for eksempel er på Komplett.no i Sandefjord.
Ja.
Den her er ikke dokumentert til påstanden jeg kom akkurat nå. Men la oss si at det da.
Ja.
Og hvis det er sånn, så er jo sjansen større for at Sandefjord kommer unna med et mål som burde vært avblåst for offside.
Ja.
Enn Rosenborg kan gjøre på Lerkendal.
Klart.
Og hvis det er sånn, så er det jo litt urettferdig.
Jo da, jeg ser den. Rosenborg har altså ikke vunnet i Molde siden 2017. Husker du hvem som var matchvinner da?
Nei,
det må du huske.
Nei, jeg er så dårlig på sånt.
Last time Rosenborg won in Molde. Niklas Bentner finished with an outsider. Husker du skuddet? Utsideknor, outsider, som jeg sier.
When you told me his name, I remember the goal.
And I have a lot of questions about you and goal scoring, Isak, but isn't it nice to get the first goal for Rosenborg in Molde?
Oh, it'd be really nice. It'd be really nice. Obviously, I want to score in every game, but last game didn't fall for us in the final third. But yeah, I think I want to score in against Molde.
But was it to go off as you did alongside Kristal? Was that the plan for you to go off?
I don't know.
Had you spoken about it in front of the game, or?
They didn't speak to me about it, at least. But I don't know if it was planned before or anything like that. But obviously, we got a lot of good strikers, so maybe he just wants to rotate. I don't know. So
because the big question now is who is going to score the goals for Rosenborg? Yeah,
yeah.
It can't be Adrian Pereira every time. It will be very strange if he ends up as your top goal scorer.
Yeah, it will look bad for us.
Yes, as a striker.
Yeah, so obviously.
So
yeah.
Who is going to score the goals?
We'll have to see. I'm not going to say any names, but obviously I want to score goals. I want to make create goals and score goals. So I think every striker wants to score. So. I think we'll have to see.
But would you kind of say that is your number one job, or is your number one job to be a target man and for Crystal maybe to pick up the ball and?
I'm not sure. Obviously, I'm a target man. I'm big and it's easy to find me in feet and in the air. So I think that's my main job. But also to score goals and make goals, it's my job as well. So I have to. Try to find a way to do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, vi skal straks snakke mer om Isak, men først en keys som huskes godt, men det begynner å bli lenge siden.
Ja da, hvor de? Ja da, ja da, hvor de nå? Hvor de nå?
Han debuterte 2. mai 1993 borte mot Lyn og fikk sin siste match hjemme mot Viking 24. september 1994. Det ble 14 offisielle kamper og 2 mål for Rosenborg. Ronny Støbakk, hvor I verden du og hva gjør du nå?
Akkurat I dag jeg på brygge I Kjøpmannskapet og halter litt. Det vanskelig å akseptere at man blir gammel, så jeg var på sjette-divisjonstrening I Malvik I går og tråkket av et dundas. Det jeg driver på med her jo på å restaurere I brygget. Jobber med lafting faktisk, restaureringslafting.
Akkurat, det høres ut som godt gammelt håndverk.
Ja, det stemmer. Vi jo litt... gammeldags nøla vi som jeg vil på med øks, stort sett
så når bryggene I Trondheim en momsider står der fin og nyoppusset alle sammen, så har du vært innom hele veien
ja, hvis du drar på litt så kan du vel si det det faktisk tredje brygget jeg innom da. Har jo startet på Hvitfeltbrygget som den eldste brygget av alle hele Trondheim som ligger nesten opp på bybrygget så vi nå I nabobrygget
Mitt inntrykk av deg som fotballspiller, Ronny, sånn sett etterkant, det at du kanskje var en av de aller beste trønderne, som det på en måte ikke ble noe ordentlig med på A-laget til Rosenborg. Samtidig så sitter jeg med en sånn feeling av at du var en fyr som på en måte sto av litt selv av egen vilje. Altså, husker jeg rett?
Ja, det kan jeg si. Sluttet frivillig, ja. Men I Rosenborg så var det jo stort sett benkesliting, da. Første sesongen I 93 så hadde jeg kanskje 20 kamper eller noe seriekamper. Og det var kanskje 1 eller 2 fra start. Andre sesongen I 94 spilte jeg til sammen I 40 minutter. Og jeg grublet litt på det I ettertid da. Men jeg tror nok at jeg en type som drives av å få til ting. Og ha det artig framfor sånn som jeg tror mange unge spillere nå er mye mer bevisst på at det faktisk en profesjon å være fotballspiller. At det hadde jeg tanker om I helt tatt. Så når jeg for på jobb hver dag og ikke fikk spill, så ble jeg jo bare sur.
Og så var det en del av Rosenborg hvor laget var tatt ut I januar-februar, og når du ikke var på det laget, så visste du hva som ventet den sesongen. Og den sesongen nummer 2 du snakket om her, da var det vel Kåsa som var foran deg I køa, men du synes egentlig at du var bedre enn han, sant?
Ja, jeg tror jeg kunne ha dribblet Kåsa ganske mange ganger I en del. Men nei, han kunne sikkert ha slått meg I alle hodedueller og alt mulig rart. Så konklusjonen at jeg var ikke god nok til å være god sammen med andre folk I Rosenborg. Det så enkelt det. Selv om jeg sikkert hadde noen egenskaper som var årligt.
Men selv om det ikke ble mer Rosenborg på her, Ronny, så la du ikke fotballskolen på hylla sånn umiddelbart da du forlot Lerkendal?
Neida, på den tiden så hadde jeg fortsatt lyst til å være fotballspiller. Og Stringen rykket jo opp til Eliteserien før 95-sesongen, så jeg var med dem i 3 sesonger. Den første sesongen var egentlig mye skadet, så jeg spilte lite, og vi rykket med. Og så rykket vi ned enda en gang, fordi at første divisjonen ble gjort om fra 2 avdelinger til 1, så vi rykket ned fra 7. plass.
Det bittert.
Ja, det var litt snedig, ja. Jeg tror ikke jeg husker på at det var til målforskjell også, så det var tight. Ja. Nei, og så etter året etterpå så rykket vi opp igjen fra 2. divisjon. Og det var noe, ja, det var litt som parademarsj gjennom selve den 2. divisjonsavdelingen, for det var jo ganske mange bra spillere i snien på den tiden, som fortsatt var med å spille til andre.
Men da ga det da?
Vi begynte å trene igjen i januar, og så kjente jeg bare at det er jo ikke artig lenger. Da. Jeg glemmer ikke å gå på trening. Jeg har lyst til å gjøre andre ting i livet, for når jeg spilte fotball, så var det ikke noe annet, egentlig. Så var han Ivar Selnes, så jeg sitter på om Gjøran, som var trener da. Tok en prat med Ivar og fant seg på og sa at jeg har ikke noe motivasjon til å fortsette med fotball. Så da begynte jeg å spille på Svartland om dagen i stedet for i bedriftsserien. Og det faktisk en av mine lærdommer i livet, at jeg har hatt det like artig med kamper for Svartland om dagen som Malvik i 5. divisjon, som å spille på Rosenborg. Så selv en ramme rundt har egentlig aldri vært det som avgjørende for min fotballglede. Det har jeg konkurrert med.
Hvordan målet om å dyrke fotballglede nå kombinert med det Rosenborg holder på med i 2023? Da? Hvordan forhold har du til dagens variant?
Det er med Rosenborg. Det er en sånn sak for meg faktisk. At det henger igjen dere, den følelsen jeg hadde av å på en måte føle at jeg var god nok til å kunne få til noe, og så bare sitte og kikke på. Det er ikke noen sånn Rosenborg-fan som står og køker og sånt. Så det, men det, ja, det en annen sak. Jeg har hørt en podcast, bortekamp-podcast med Pål Aarvåg, hvor han fortalte om Rosenborg sitt gatelag.
Ja.
Og han snakker om det Rosenborget som mitt, som Nils var ganske god til å snakke om også. Det handler ikke bare om Champions League da. Det handler om noe djupere enn som så. Så når man ser laget nå, det var faktisk på lekkene det går, så er det jo det er jo noe helt annet. Så kan man jo si at det er helt annet tid, og kanskje kreves det annet tid for å nå opp. Men kanskje så kunne det gått an med spillere fra utlærer og Rennebu fortsatt. Jeg tror i hvert fall jeg kommer til å like det laget bedre.
Men hva synes du om merkelappen min da? Den kanskje beste trønderen som aldri helt fikk det til på laget til Rosenborg? Eller en av de beste i hvert fall?
Det kan ikke jeg... Det jeg kan si er at det er fortsatt folk som husker på navnet mitt, og det forstår jeg ikke. For det er jo 30 år, ja. Ja. Nei, jeg vet ikke. Jeg tror jo inni meg at jeg var bra, men jeg har aldri sett noe særlig opptak av at jeg spiller. Så ungene mine flirer jo bare av meg hvis jeg prøver å si noe. Så, nei, jeg vet ikke. Jeg har vel tenkt at hvis jeg har hatt en del flere egenskaper som handler mye om det mentale og det som skjer utenfor banen, så tror jeg at jeg kunne hatt en karriere. Ja. Knut Torbjørn, han likte alltid meg så godt, så han prøvde jo å få meg til Ålesund og Moss, og sånt, men jeg torsa rett og slett ikke å reise ut i verden. Jeg hadde ikke i meg. Så da var det Rosenborg eller ikke noe. Det har vært litt for vanskelig for meg. Ja da, hvor de? Ja da, hvor de nå?
Hvor de nå? Der har du børstet støv av en god gammel godbit der.
Men det som Ronny selv sier da, han er overrasket.
Lenge siden da!
Ja, men han er overrasket over at folk fortsatt husker navnet hennes. Og han er jo en ordentlig liten rev på Twitter, så det kan jo ha noe med det å gjøre også. Han er en lun type, han har gode meldinger på Luringsen, og han følger med på Rosenborg fortsatt.
Spør om jeg husker da.
Husker du Ronny Støvdak?
Ja, da, jeg fikk autografen hans på Tynset i 94 eller sånt, så da var jeg en liten drittunge. Treningskamp mot Tynset Rosenborg. Men tilbake til Isak. I have a question from Ole, not me, another Ole. How much do you take in the bench press?
I think it's... I don't really do much upper body gym. I don't like it, but...
That was not a good answer.
But I think 110 is my max that I've tried.
Yeah, for,
isn't that quite good?
Ja, det
I don't know. I don't know.
That is quite good.
It probably could have been better if I do it a lot, but 110 is what I do, yeah.
Ah,
For Petter, har Rosenborg hatt en sterkere møtende spiss siden Bentner, eller Islamovic var sterk, men det var mye albuer og sånt.
Jeg trodde du skulle si siden Gjøran så lott.
Ja, ja, det blir lenge siden, ja. Men Gjøran var sterk da.
Ja, men altså, det ingen tvil om at vi her har fått oss en skikkelig bjasse på topp, som du vil ha sagt det. Så, ja. Så han har måttet skapt litt forventninger rundt det. Han stor, han sterk, og det som han sier selv da, I'm a target man, så ja. Da må han jo bare... It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it, and now it's you.
Yeah, exactly. As one of the bigger players and of the strikers, I'm seen as a target man. So yeah.
Because but you don't want us to only see you as a big man.
No, I think also I'm a good footballer. I'm good with the ball. I'm good at making assists and scoring goals. So that's something you'll see hopefully here.
Mm. Yeah, because people are curious about you because you're quite fresh here and you come from you won the league last year and you scored 13 in 19 games. Mm-hmm. But I think and please correct me if I'm wrong that you were a midfielder and you ended up as a striker last year. Mm. Last year was your first full season as a striker, is that correct?
No, I think I played 1 year in Norwich as a striker.
Okay.
Most of my career I've played as a midfielder, deep lying midfielder or attacking midfielder.
Yeah. And how is it to adapt? How was it to change? Was that no problem? Or?
For me, it's really easy to play any position. I think I can play like the my mind for the game is really good, so I understand every position. So for me, it's really too easy to adapt.
Yeah.
For vi satt jo. Her I studioet, ja. Omtrent et år før han faktisk kom, mm. og lansert ryktene om at han var aktuell for
Rosenborg. Ja,
halvår. Og da var vi jo litt I tvil om hva han var. Altså om han var midtbanespiller, mm. eller om han var kant, eller om han var spiss. Ja. Vi så på noen sånne varmekart.
Ja, ja.
Hvor var det mørkest rødt henne på banen, mm. og det var et kjempenærme målet, det var rødest.
Nei.
Det var et stykke unna.
Fordi Mathias is asking strengths and weaknesses. You thought we have learned a little bit about your strengths now, but where can you improve most?
Fitness. Running more and for long distances, I think could be better. And obviously, the I think shooting long distance could be better for me.
Langskott der altså. For I fjor og sommer, du sa det, Petter, så ble det allerede skrevet litt om Isak og Rosenborg, og I oktober så ble det da kjent. You were playing in Breidablik, you were getting the Champions Shield, eating pizza under Champions Shield as well, we'll talk about that later. But how did the Rosenborg interest and the Rosenborg, what you said, that you signed for Rosenborg, how did that come up?
I think I heard from interest... In the beginning of the summer in Iceland, and then obviously I wanted to finish the season in Iceland. And when I knew that the interest was still there, it got my attention because if the interest is still there, you know the coaches want you, and that's a really big thing. And obviously, Rosenborg has a big history and a really big club, so that really sold me as well. Yeah.
At that time, Kristal Manningasson was here, and he said, Isak is better than me. He's really good. I want him here. Had you then already spoken to him about Rosenborg?
Yeah, he texts me almost every day. He's always showing me stuff around the city and sending me
pictures. He did that last summer, last summer?
Yeah, last summer, yeah. He was texting me all the time. So, yeah, I spoke to him for a very long time as well, yeah.
So he was promoting Rosenborg really hard for you?
Yeah, he did really well. Good job.
But how far back go you and Kristal go?
Oh, I remember him... Just from the start, obviously he grew up in the town next to mine, so it was a big rivalry in our teams. So yeah,
and you were the star of your team, and he was the star of his team.
Yeah, you can say that. but he's a really good player as well, and obviously people knew him from his talent in Iceland as well. So yeah, I've known him for a really long time, and we've been friends for many years.
But it was written afterwards. It was written that Viking Stavanger also wanted you. Is that? Can you confirm that?
Yeah, I can confirm they wanted me as well. That interest from few clubs. And
can you say some other clubs?
Or some in Russia, some in Italy, and then yeah, obviously a few other places. But these were the biggest interest. Yeah.
And then
luckily you didn't end up in Russia then.
No, I said no straight away because I always look for the war and every conflict that's there is too political for me. So yeah, didn't want to go there.
But then the summer becomes fall, and you win the league with Brede Blake, and then you sign for Rosenborg in October, and you come here. Was it the easy choice for you?
Yeah, I think Rosenborg was always number one for me. Obviously, a really big club, done really well in the past, and doing really well last season. So yeah, I think Rosenborg was always number one on my mind. Yeah.
Just to correct you a little bit, number three is not really well. For Rosenborg, you have to be number one to,
yeah,
to be really
obviously,
well.
the standards here are really high,
yes.
So that's what I really like as well. That's one of the reasons I came here. So yeah, obviously, always want to be number one.
You have to get that right. Really well, it's number one.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, you came back from Scotland and was at Akranes on loan, and then before last season, Brede Blikk. And you won the championship on the first try there. How was that? How was that season in Iceland last year?
I think it was one of my best season in my career. Obviously, we had a really good team. They had been in second place, just lost it by 1 point, I think, the season before that. So the standards to the expectation to win the season when I was there was really high. So yeah, I think. I came there as a midfielder actually, and then I ended up playing on the wing. It went really well for me.
So you played you came as a midfielder and you played winger, and now you're a striker.
Yeah, I changed position really quickly. But I played the winger one game in one friendly game over there, and it did really well. So I played there.
And what can I say about, because people are interested in that as well, you know, Rosenborg quite often meet these Icelandic teams in the European qualifications in the summer. But how is the, when you came here, in the training and in the matches, and of course with 15,000 on the on Lerkendal, what's the difference on quality of the league?
There's much more aggressiveness here. The football is the tempo is a little bit higher than in Iceland. Obviously, I'm used to the tempo a little bit from England. The tempo there is really high, but the tempo here is really good, and the fans over here are just amazing. So that's really the difference from Iceland, and here is the fan base. I would say, yeah.
I know we can ask you a question that we have wondered a bit, because Kjetil Rekdal is saying that Rosenborg is training so hard to get the players ready for a season. Are Rosenborg training so hard?
Yeah, it's been a really tough winter for us. We've trained really hard. Obviously, you have to be fit to last the whole season. It's a long season, so we've trained really hard this winter.
So we come to that shield, because when you win the Icelandic league, you're not getting a trophy, you're getting a big shield.
Yeah.
Og det har vi sett bilder av etter.
Yeah, you used it to eat pizza on it.
Yeah.
And you had a message for the Instagram followers. I'm champion. I eat whatever I want.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
It was my friend that put this up. So I answered it. I was just basically enjoying my win. Obviously, I trained really hard for it. So I think I deserve to enjoy a little bit, take some time off, and enjoy with my team. Obviously, we're winners, so you have to enjoy the good times as well. Obviously, you put in hard work, so yeah.
Yeah, because...
Vi vet jo at spissene til Rosenborg bruker trofeene til litt spesielle ting.
Ja, ja.
Vi har jo sett Gyttkjær putt snoppen inn I en pokal også.
Det korrekt.
Det var kanskje videre for viderekommende, da. Men her var litt mer skjarmerende.
You have to Google Gyttkjær and trophy, and you'll see another Rosenborg striker using a trophy for something different.
And he only wore that trophy. Nothing else.
But I come to my point, because... when you came back from Scotland, you admitted to us as late as in January that I was a bit overweight.
Yeah, I was.
What happened?
Obviously, I started when I moved to Fleetwood. I started living alone, and I don't know how to cook. So it's a lot of fast food in dinner.
So in Norwich with your mother there,
yeah.
You eat properly, healthy.
Yeah, my mom's food it was always healthy. So when I go away, it was really difficult to adapt. And then in Iceland, I was not in that bad shape in the UK. But that's when I come to Iceland, it was really difficult because I missed a lot out on the social life, and I was meeting my friends, eating whatever, enjoying my life. And then obviously I get overweight, so I had to lose weight really quickly. So that happened in the during the end of the end of my season in for IA Akranes. Then I go to Breiðablik. I'm in really good shape.
Yeah. What did you have to do you had to run, what did I say, this bus too? In saunas with all those clothes, or how did you do that? How did you get match fit from the Akranes?
Food, really just food, eating. When I try to lose weight, I do this thing called juice cleansing. So basically you just eat juice to cleanse your body, and I lose a lot of weight then, and then I build on that. Obviously, try to eat less bad carbs, and then from there I just train.
But you look much more fit now than when you came to Rosenborg.
Yeah.
To be honest,
yeah.
What message did you get from Ulrik Wislöf when he first the first time he screened you and took the fat percent and stuff? Did you get some harsh messages from Wislöf?
It was not really hard messages, but obviously I knew I was overweight. Well, not overweight, but not in as good shape as I wanted to be in. Yep. When I came here. That's what I think for what the preseason is for, is to get that fitness back. Yep. So obviously I trained really hard to lose that extra weight.
But who is cooking for you now? Your mom is not here, is she?
No, I'm by myself. I use what's called air fryer a lot. So
okay.
And then obviously my family were over this over the Easter, so they cooked me. So my dad came and cooked for me now. And,
but you still can't cook, or
no?
No,
Fredrik speaking on now.
Oh, that.
We are. You're not alone to be.
You're not the only one
in the kitchen. I can promise you. But you a nice and fine overgang.
Yeah.
Because you have some tattoos as well. We've seen them in January in an article in Adresseavisen back then. And you said that each and every one of your tattoos means something to you, especially the tattoo family. So on Twitter, we can see that you have been written about you, that you have both Icelandic and American citizenship or something like that. What is this? Because you know, you told us about your family from Iceland who moved to England with you, mother and father and two siblings?
No, two twin sisters and younger brother and one older sister.
Okay, quite a big family.
Yeah,
then.
Quite a big family, yeah.
One big happy Norwich family there. But what is this American thing?
I have a biological father from America. Yeah, I didn't really get in touch with him until during COVID, I think it was. So, yeah, from that time, I've just been speaking to him. And obviously, I went to him, met my dad for the first time in December.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a dual citizenship. Well, I can't get it. I don't have the American passport, but I can get it if I want to.
So the first time you met your American dad, you were like 19 or 20?
No, 21.
21?
Yeah, it was last year in December.
And how was that?
Really nice. Obviously, meeting your biological father is a really big thing and important to you. For me to have all my family that I can have, obviously, it's a big thing, yeah.
Had you spoken to him before, or was it really the first time you ever communicated with him?
No, I spoke to him the first time. I think it was during the lockdown in England. It was 2020, I think it was, and then I met him the first time last year.
And you've seen these Instagram things from Oklahoma, so that's where he's living?
Yeah, Tulsa, Oklahoma is where he's from. And where he lives.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have to take my questions once again, because does this mean, because I've seen you have some national senior matches for Iceland, but I think that's on the training matches. In theory, can you play for USA?
Yeah, I think I can, but I've lived with him in Iceland my whole life, so
it's not an option.
No, it's not an option for me.
So you and Sam Rogers, you won't go together?
No, me and Crystal will go, but not me and Sam, unfortunately.
And we also have to take that as well, but because some weeks ago, colleague Stefan, he had a big article in Adresseavisen with Isak and his new car.
Some of the nicest photos ever printed in Adresseavisen. With a cool guy and a really nice car.
Yeah, it's,
I make my own money, so I can use them to whatever I want to.
Yeah, exactly. I make my money, so I can buy what I want. That's a quote I live by. But yeah, it's my dream car, and I just wanted to buy it. I knew I could buy it here. It's more difficult than Iceland, so yeah.
And there's, it's called Bling, and you've said that you like things, you like shiny things.
Yeah, I've always.
I can see your watch today. It's, yeah. It does shine.
Yeah, I do love shiny things. So I do have a lot of it. I used to be more, buy more of it, but I've calmed down a little bit as I get older, obviously. But yeah, I like shiny things.
But it's kind of, that's kind of like, hva heter han? Herregud, nå står det helt stilt her.
Okay.
So it's kind of Zlatan-ish. He used his first wage to get a car, both for himself and his mom. Obviously, the salary was a bit bigger in Ajax, but André Bergdølmo told us that that's what Zlatan did. And your first wage here at Rosenborg went straight to the BMW dealer and got a really nice car.
Yeah, obviously, hopefully I'll be good, as good as Zlatan, but yeah, but, yeah obviously, you when you get, like, when you do hard work and you do well, I think you should you know, do things that you want as well. Obviously you earn it, so you have to, how do you say it, like do something for yourself, because you've worked so hard, you have to enjoy it as well. So that's what I've done. Obviously I did well in Iceland and I thought I deserved.
So when if we come to August and you still haven't scored, you have to change the BMW into a Toyota. Or
I'll sell my car, hopefully, but hopefully I won't have to do that. So yeah.
Yeah, but because when you come with that car, it has some expectations with it.
Yeah, obviously I knew I hadn't played any games, so people didn't know how I was, how good I was. So before I got the car, I knew I would get some pressure, and that's what I want as well. To have some pressure, because it's in, always in your back, people, so you have to work harder, and that's I think that's a good thing.
Because just to make it clear, there's no critique on that from here, from at least not from me. Just go hard.
Because people are asking how many goals can we expect from you this year, do you want to be top scorer in the league and so on and so on, but that car demands some goals.
Mm-hmm. At least 10.
How many goals? What are your personal ambitions? Have you got a number in your head?
I don't really have a number, but I want to do more than I did in Iceland. And I
that was 13?
13 in the league and then few in the Cup games and Europa League. So I think I want to do around 20, maybe more, hopefully.
Yeah, and then you have to start perhaps already on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully I'll start on Sunday, score some goals, making assists. So yeah, hopefully it'll go my way.
Because
if he scores more than 20 goals, then Mikkel Dorsin could afford a similar watch as Isak has now when they sell him for big money to another big European club.
Yeah, because we are almost done now. But what's your now you're here and you're written a long term contract, mm-hmm. and I think you want to show what you're capable of here before you even think about going further. But what's your ambitions at the end?
Like my main goals, or my main goals is obviously right now I'm only focusing on Rosenborg. I want to win the league. I want to win as many games as possible. But in the end, I want to obviously. I think most of the players in football want to play in Premier League. So I think that's where I want to end.
Eric asks, who is your role model in football?
Oof. Tough question. I don't think really. I think I have one, but I always like Ronaldinho as a player. But obviously, I'm not really like him. But as a role model, I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Ronaldinho is bra. My son plays FIFA, and he always got Ronaldinho.
Yeah, always.
And he says Ronaldinho goat.
And Matthias and Jelle both asked about the goal. No, he said. He's 20 has been the number coming up here. And the last question you have black and white hair. Is it something symbolic about that, or is it just coincidence? You're playing for a black and white team, you know.
I've always had color in my hair. I think before my last season, my last game in Iceland, my barber wanted to put a line. He always wanted to put my line in my hair, and I didn't allow him into. But I said, if we become champions, I'll let you do it.
So this is actually your hairdresser's choice.
Yeah, it was his choice. He wanted to do the line. I always have like my whole hair colored, but I think I'll probably when this is gone out, I'll probably do my whole hair white. Yeah.
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 Or you could do it green, the same color as the new the new kit.
I don't know. I think I want the white.
Okay, Isaac. Isaac. What's the best?
Either one. But, either one. Isaac is my yeah.
Yeah, Isaac. Thank you so much for visiting us. Vi skal ha ukas lag.
Ukas lag.
Og da gliser du, for det her ukas høydepunkt for deg.
Ja, altså, jeg synes jo at jeg tror vår eller noe jinglen faktisk har ikke vasse. Den sterk.
Kjør!
3-5-2. Keeper, Rugile Rulyte, hvor kjenner du?
Ja.
Ja, U23 keeper for Norge vant 2-1 over Italia på søndagen, og nå det første keeper Klink for Rosenborg også, to smultringer der på rappen, og så spørsmålet da om hun kan bli første keeper selv om Lene Kristensen har signert ny kontrakt. Står det godt, så hvorfor skal hun ikke stå videre?
Ja, det litt spennende. De har jo egentlig to veldig gode keepere. Så, men ja, nå står det.
Nå står det, og U23 jo utstillingsvindu i tillegg og slo Italia.
Også på utgående kontrakt. Litt spennende.
Ja, det nettopp det der. Og hva gjør Rosenborg med det når de har forlenget med Kristensen? Trebekken da Tobias Guddal Levanger. 2-0-1 høy fra Bryne, men signerte for Levanger før sesongen, og var en av banens giganter i Derby-seieren over Stjørdals-Blink i serieåpningen av 2. divisjon.
Imponerende. Det den ekte løven som holdt på Levanger, vet du, Per Werner Rønning. Ja. Og det godt gjort. Han må nesten bygge et helt klin nytt lag hvert år, uten peng og ja, litt trange kår, men ja. Fotballag blir det.
Det blir det, og de er bra, ser bra ut Levanger, og da kan jeg jo liksom bare ta den andre stopperen her, da, så den ble hentet fra Levanger, og det mannen vi har snakket litt om, vi har snakket litt om den før, Petter, Sander Munkeby Sundnes. Han lokal pokal fra Levanger, men ble hentet til Hødd. Vi diskuterte om Ranheim burde vært på der, det gjorde de ikke. Han kastet seg inn i helsehokket, husker du det, på Rosenborg-køppen før? Kastet jo 100 meter, sant?
Skyt innkast med hendene.
Kastet en rødfossforsvarer i mål omtrent i helga. Vant 1-0, Hødd ser åpninga etter opprykket. Kan jo nevne at Kleibygg Draksten trener. Strålende start for Hødd, for Sundnes i midtforsvaret, og for Draksten. Siste stopperen Marius Sandvik. Det en Nardo-gutt som sto frem i 5-0-vinsten mot Kolstad. Da vi over i tredje divisjon, avdeling 5. Det jo en helt fantastisk helg, vet du. Nå har jo alle leggene startet opp, og neste helg starter i fjerde divisjon og femte divisjon. Helt nydelig.
Betravelte, da.
Jeg gleder meg.
Ja.
Men Nardo blir skumle. Det blir duell mot Byåsen i toppen av tredje divisjon. Byåsen vant så vidt over Trøndelin, men Nardo feide Kolstad 5-0, så den blir spennende. De har med seg på wingbackene. Adrian Pereira må jo få være med, Petter.
Ja, så når det blir med noen match mot Viking med en litt sånn liggende hel volley, så er det innenfor.
Feiringene
trekker litt ned, men...
Nei, den trekker opp.
Trekker opp det.
En kyllinggreie der, ja. Den der Ronaldo-greie etterpå, ja. Det kan kutte ut. Ja. Men kyllingen, ja, det 8-10 for meg, det.
Ok.
Han får med seg en som jeg tipper var født rundt, skal vi tippe han er født rundt 2005-2006, eller? Siljan Bergsten på Fosen.
Ja.
Sjette divisjon, 7-3 i serieåpninga mot Kattem. De har jo begynt i sjette divisjon, men ikke fjerde og femte, men sjette har begynt. Og det sterkt, og for et fornavn, vi må jo etterpå at den født etter at det Siljan himself...
Ja, det vet vi ikke om, men vi lager den historien nå, at han er kalt opp etter P. Siljan.
Midtbanetrio, Fredrik Lund, god sesongstart for Strindheim. Det blir mye tredje divisjon avdeling 5 her da, for dette de ligaene som er åpen. Målskårer i 4-1-seieren over Tiller. Tiller kommer til å få litt trøbbel, tror jeg, med Strindheim trygt og godt i gang i tredje divisjon. Har med seg Even Thorsen fra Verdalen. Husker du Even Thorsen fra Verdalen?
Nei.
Han var jo på årets lag i fjor, Even! Starter meget habilt også i 2023. Matchvinner da i lokaldrama mot Steinkjær i tredje divisjon. 2-1, drømmestart for nyopprykka Verdalen. Og så har vi en midtbanespiller som du helt sikkert har hørt om. Jeg vet ikke om han spiller tier eller litt sånn framskutt der nå, men Vegard Erlien, han kjenner du til.
Han har vi hørt om, ja.
Ja.
Som sørger for at Molde får en litt trang start på årets Eliteserie. Det kan vi jo like når han skårer for Tromsø.
Det ikke sikkert hvert på ukas dag hvis han skårer mot Sandefjord.
Nei.
Men mot Molde, da han inne.
Ja.
Og så har jeg to I front da til slutt som kanskje ikke rene spisser noen av dem, mer kanter egentlig, men Sivert Solhjerne der.
Sivert Solli som egentlig var ferdig I Rannheim og som lette etter ny arbeidsgiver helst I Eliteserien og så kom Kåre Ingebrigtsen til Rannheim og da våkna lysten igjen for å spille for de blå I fjerde.
Og det ser ut som Sivert Solli har hatt godt av det trenerskiftet.
Ja.
To goller mot Jerv borte og det kanonstart for Kåre prosjekt.
Ja, veldig bra.
Kåre prosjekt.
Men tror du har dine ord I behold ingen typisk spiss, men en kant I 4-3-3.
Ja, nå det 3-5-2. For det passer best for opplegget.
Det helt kaos det her nå.
Nei, 3-5-2 har med seg Sara Bjerksæter I front. Hun skårer hat-trick mot Hønefoss for Kiel Emne 2. April. Nå var det jo landslagspause for damene, men jeg tar med den her, for det var ikke en ukas lag sist.
Du har alltid med en fra enten Tynset eller nede I Dalen et sted, eller Kiel Emne.
Ja, men når du skårer hat-trick I første sesjon, og det niesa til Erik Hoftun.
Ok da.
Du tikker på alle boksene for meg det. Det var ukas lag I 3-5-2. Bra lag det.
Ja da, absolutt.
Ukas lag.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.